Today's sermon, you know, kind of going through what this week was and some things that were big about this week. You know, we had a bigger day yesterday for some people, and for some people maybe it wasn't a very big day, but we had Valentine's Day yesterday, right? Valentine's Day, which is a very loving day that this world is, this country has put out there for us to celebrate our love for one another. So my title today is going to be the greatest love story that was ever told. Okay, human love fades, it fails, and it fractures. But God's love never does. Okay, talk about love in our world today. So imagine if anybody bought a Valentine's card yesterday, or they bought one for their spouse or their loved one or their child. So you take that card, right, that says, I love you forever, right? It costs $1.99, $3.99. If you go to Ray's, it costs $12.99. But if love were really this cheap, we wouldn't have so many broken hearts in this world, right? Culture sells sentimental love, right? Our culture, our country, our culture, it sells sentimental love. But God offers sacrificial love. Real love costs something. And the cross proves that. Okay. Kids church is dismissed. Thank you. Kids church is dismissed. Thank you. So real love does cost something, though. So Valentine's Day, it tells us love is a feeling, love is a chemistry, love is a romance. Love is what someone does for me. But the Bible tells us something very different. Love is not something God has. Love is who God is. God is love. He who does not, in 1 John 4:8, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we want to understand love, real love, we must look beyond flowers, we must look beyond cards and emotions, and we've got to look to the cross. So what's the definition of true love? So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in its iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. You see, this passage is often read at weddings, but this actual scripture right here was written to a divided church at the time. It wasn't a romantic couple. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the early Christian church in the wealthy, diverse, and often immoral Roman city Corinth. He wrote this to address serious issues like internal divisions, sexual immorality, idolatry, and confusion over Christian practices. It's funny how so many years ago and all that still sounds familiar today. Okay, love is a choice. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. Love is a choice. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. None of these are emotions. They're all decisions. At weddings, couples say for better or for worse. Nobody pictures the worst. The sickness, the stress, the disappointments. But that's where love shows up, is in those moments. Anybody can love when it's easy, but God's love endures when it's hard. Feelings come and go. God's love stays and will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Okay, love is proven under pressure. Okay, verse 7 said, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Real love is revealed when it's inconvenient, when it's uncomfortable, when it costs you something. Love never fails in verse 8. Not because people are perfect, but because God is faithful. So God is the source of all true love. 1 John talked about this. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might believe through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. That's a tough one. I'm going to be honest real quick. I read this one. I even told Tab, I was like, I wonder if I just come up with do the translation on that to a word I understand. Because we looked it up and the definition is to be propitiated. I was like, well, that doesn't help. But the more I hear it, the more I understand it. Propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, or beloved, if so God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love was demonstrated. It was not declared. God didn't just say he loves us. He proved it. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's Valentine's Day at its core. You know, it's nice to let everybody around you know they love you, but that's Valentine's Day at its core. Love begins with God, not people. So today, a third of Americans who have been married have also experienced divorce. A third. In 2023, 1.8 million Americans divorced. Many people are disappointed in love because they're asking people to supply what only God can. They're asking somebody else to supply that love when only God can do it. God alone is the source of unfailing love. Not a spouse, not a relationship, not a human being. God alone is the source for unfailing love. We are blessed to have people who love us in our lives, but we need to remember that it's because of God's love for us that we get to share our hearts with others. One thing is clear, when a marriage ends in divorce, one or both people in that marriage have stopped focusing on God's love for us and started focusing on other things of this world. How many divorce stories have you heard that truly had God at the center of their relationships? I struggle to think of any that they haven't taken their eyes off of God and it still ended in a divorce. The cross is the greatest act of love. You know, we have our first responders aren't actually here today. Most of them are out today. But if you think of a firefighter, right? A firefighter doesn't run away from danger. They run towards it. Jesus didn't wait for us to improve. Jesus didn't wait for us to prove ourselves or to get better before he sacrificed himself for us. He stepped into our mess. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus said that. Jesus didn't die for people who deserved it. He died for his enemies. He died for the sinners, for the broken, and certainly for the undeserving. Just imagine in today's world, if someone's stepping forward and took your punishment for a crime that you actually committed, that's mercy. That's love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love sacrifices. Like I said earlier, love costs something. Love bleeds. Love gives without a guarantee of a return. God has unconditional love for us. Even when we may not be showing our love for him, he is still loving us. Love forgives. On the day of Jesus' crucifixion, he said in Luke 23, verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know of what they do." Can you imagine what that would be like, knowing that you're so hated by your community that they're about to put you to death, and still have the compassion, the love to ask God to forgive them for what they're about to do? If we want to love like Christ, then we've got to learn to forgive like Christ. Forgive those that have hurt us. So how does God's love transforms in our relationships? In Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and forgiven given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So how does God's love transform our relationships? So I want to cover a few different areas of this. I'll start with love in a marriage. So picture a rope, right? You got a rope in your hand. It's a three-strand rope. It's got three different strands that are weaving together to make this rope. You pull on it, it's nice and strong and nice and sturdy. Okay, a marriage is like this strand of rope. It's got three parts to it. It's got a husband, it's got a wife, and it's got Christ. What happens when you remove one of those strands to a piece of rope? Right, it loses its strength. It loses its ability to act as a rope. And a marriage is no different than that. A marriage is without one strand, take Christ out, the rope weakens. Scripture even tells us a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Marriage works best when both submit to Christ. When both people submit to Christ, and that way we have all three strands in that marriage. When love is sacrificial and not selfish, and when grace flows freely in our relationship. A strong marriage isn't built on romance. It's built on righteousness. That's what will ground your marriage. That's what will ground our relationship. So what about when you're single? How does love work when you're single? Being single is not a curse for all of our single folks. It's not a curse, and don't think it is. So being single is not a curse. It's not a waiting room, and it's certainly not the second best. God's love is complete, whether you're married or not. Be patient. God will provide. Okay, what about love in a broken world? Okay, some carry wounds from betrayal, from a divorce, from loss, from rejection. God's love heals what people break. Okay, bandages are temporary, but healing from our God is permanent. Some relationships are just bandages. Sometimes we get into a relationship and it's just a bandage. God wants to heal the wound, not just cover it up. God's true love wants to heal that. God's love doesn't just distract, right? It restores. It restores those things. Okay, so how do we respond to God? How do we respond to that? 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. So receive his love. You cannot give what you have not received. If you haven't received God's love, how are you going to give it to somebody else? How can you give that love to somebody else and not have it fail on you? Okay, a mirror doesn't simply create an image in it. It reflects one. Okay, we don't manufacture love. We reflect the love we've received from God. The love we show is what we have already received from God. If love feels absent, then go back to the source. Don't go to somebody in your community. Don't go to, you know, a trusted friend. If love feels absent, go to the source. He's the only one that supplies true love. God fills us so we can pour out our love. He will fill us with love so that we can pour out. Reflect in his love. Receive his love, but reflect in his love. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Okay? Like a mirror, an echo doesn't start with a sound. An echo is a response to a sound that was already made. Our love is simply an echo of God's love towards us. We love him because he first loved us. Love is our loudest testimony. You know, we talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about, you know, the Word of God and our testimony, right? That's our testimony is the number one thing that we have to take into the world to show people who God is, to tell people who our Lord and Savior is. But love is part of that. The way we love each other, the way we love our neighbors, the way we love our enemies, right? The ones that we don't necessarily want to be around, or the ones that we don't necessarily think about every day, we still have to love them. That doesn't mean we need to invite them over for dinner. Doesn't mean that we need to hang out and we need to be best friends, but we love them as Christ loved us. Hatred in our hearts, you know, it separates us from Christ. When we have hatred in our heart, when we're mad, when we're angry, and I'm speaking to myself here, if this fits you, then that's great too, but when you're mad and when you're angry, it's hard to focus on Christ. It's hard to put Christ in the center of everything. But as soon as you do, you notice that anger and that getting mad and angry kind of starts to go away a little bit, and then you realize that, why am I angry? Right? I love this person. I may not like them, but I love them. Just as God loves them. Kathy, you want to come on up? I'm a little quicker today than I thought I was going to be. So Valentine's Day asks, who do you love? Valentine's Day asks us, who do we love? Who do we give this card to? Who do we love? The gospel asks us, have you received the love that saves? Jesus stands with open arms, still loving, still calling, still forgiving. He's calling for the hurting. He's calling for the lonely. He's calling for our marriages. He's calling for the hearts that have grown cold. He's calling for those who need to encounter love again. God's love is available right now. So today, as we begin to open the altars up here, you know, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you to reflect on the love that God has shown us, even when we didn't know His name. The cross is not God pointing the finger. It's God opening His arms. And they're still open today. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If your heart has grown cold, if love has wounded you, if you've truly never received His love, then I'm going to ask you today to simply raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and come and not because you're worthy, but because God is loving, because God is love. We have a team here. We have an altar team that wants to come up here and they want to pray with you. They want to help you to walk with God, to receive God's true love, to put God at the center of your relationships, your marriages, the center of you as a parent, the center of the way that we treat our neighbors. So if that's you, I just ask you to slip your hand up today. Okay, so if there's other prayers that you have, Rich came up earlier before we started and he opened up with prayers for all of our folks that are sick, for all of our brothers and sisters that are injured, that are sick, that are healing. If you have a sickness, if you have an injury, if you just need to pray for somebody else, I invite you to come up here also. These altars are a wonderful place for you to have some one-on-one time with Christ, or you can meet with our altar team up here and they can pray with you. We can pray with you. We can fight these battles together. So if that's you, after I close in prayer, I invite you, I encourage you to come up here, spend time with our team, spend time in prayer. If it's not, then when you leave here today, go out of here knowing that God loves you. God loves you, not in the way that the world loves, but unconditionally loves you. God is love. Scripture tells us that God is love. So Father God, God, we pray today, Lord. We pray that you're with us, Lord, that your love, Lord, gets into our heart, Lord, gets into gets into our soul, Lord, that the Holy Spirit works on us with love. For those of us that struggle with a heart that's grown cold, Lord, with the bitterness that we may get sometimes around people in our lives, Lord, we ask that you just remind us, Lord, constantly remind us that if your love's not there, then we can't make this happen, Lord. That this isn't going to work, Lord. This isn't going to survive, Lord. Your love in our hearts needs to be the priority thing that we focus on, Lord. And through that, we know that you will fix everything around us. You will fix our relationships. You'll fix our relationships with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family members. Lord, we know that you will absolutely fix those things if we lean on your love. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for loving us even though we were your enemies. Lord, we pray you keep us safe, Lord. Keep us safe as we go out today, Lord, as we go out into this community, Lord. We pray that you give us opportunities this week, Lord, today, that we get to run into people that maybe weren't here today. Maybe people that have never been in the church, Lord, that we get the opportunity to run into them, that we get the opportunity to tell them your love and what your love has done in our lives, Lord, and what your love can do in their lives. And show them who you are, Lord. Show them your love. We ask for those opportunities, Lord. Please put that in front of us. Give us the courage, the wisdom, the knowledge to be able to open up to these people and to tell them exactly what it is that you do. Lord, we pray that you bring us back here safe tonight, Lord, so we can continue to learn about what John wrote in the book of John, Lord, to learn about who you are, to learn about what you've done, to learn about the miracles that you created, that you did through the disciples, Lord, through your apostles. We're feeding the 5,000 tonight, Lord, as we talk about that, Lord. We pray that you bring us back here safely for that, Lord, and bring us back here safely for all of our events this week, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. These altars are open, and if you need any special prayers, please come on up here, over here by Kathy, and our altar team will meet up with you.